Good morning. This is Old Lion, Young Lion, and we are a show on this radio station, WPTR, and you may have been listening with us over the past few weeks, and we're so happy that you have been on this journey with us. And for all you new listeners, you may be asking, why would you call yourself Old Lion, Young Lion? And that, my friend, is a wonderful question. We call ourselves Old Lion, Young Lion because the Bible teaches us clearly that the righteous are to speak bold as lions. And it is our intention, it is our responsibility that we are to seek out truth and then proclaim it boldly to anyone that we can. We also have called our show Old Lion, Young Lion because we work for the greatest lion of all time, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we've been mentioning a few things to you, and we want to remind you about this, is that we now have an email address that you can send us an email, request a Bible topic, or pose a question that we can kind of answer on the show. And that email address is oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Now, my name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazelton, and we are a part of the pastoral team at Electric City Baptist Church, and we'd love for you to come out and hang out with us and come and join a gathering with us. We meet many times throughout the week, primarily on Sunday mornings at 10:30, and you can find us at 2350 Hamburg Street. Now, one of the things that we like to do on this show, it's very important to us. Not only do we share the Bible, not only do we proclaim the Bible's truths, but we like to take every show and have a little pause and then spend some time in prayer. So I'm going to ask the old lion here, Sam Hazelton, if you don't mind, Sam, would you kick the show off with a little bit of prayer?
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for today. Lord, this study of Jonah has been inspiring, I know, for myself, and I hope for our listeners as well. Lord, as we close out this book of Jonah today, I pray that the word of God would go forth, it would not return void, but it would accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all those that are listening. We don't know what you're walking through or what you're going through right now in just this early part of 2024. But we hope that this show is a blessing to you, and we also pray that God is continuing to lead you in the way of righteousness and calling you closer and closer to Him. Now, we'd like to kind of jump into this week's episode. It's a part two of what we've been walking through, the book of Jonah. Last week was exciting, and the adventure kicked off in the first two chapters of Jonah. And before we get into the last half of Jonah, we'd like to kind of do a little recap.
Yes. So Jonah, he first gets a grievous mission from God. He's asked to go to the city of Nineveh and to proclaim God's word to them. And Nineveh at that time was a rival, an adversary to Israel. And there was no love lost between Israel and Assyria, the capital of which was Nineveh. And so Jonah gets in a boat and he heads in the complete opposite direction. We know that in the Psalms, in Psalm 139, it says this, "Where shall I flee from your presence, and where shall I go from your spirit?" No matter where we go, you cannot outrun God. And God is calling you, and He is wanting you to be part of His team. And if you try to run in the opposite direction, you're never going to outrun the Spirit of God. And so when Jonah's in this boat, we get the storm that comes, and the here these sailors who had nothing to do with God are all of a sudden praying, maybe for the first time in their lives, and they're mad that Jonah's down in the bottom of the boat. He's fast asleep. He's not even praying. Here's this man of God not even praying when their lives are on the line. And so first we learn that there are no atheists in foxholes. A lot of people pretend to be agnostic or they pretend to be atheists, but then they get into trouble. Who do they cry out to? The only one who can deliver them. God Himself.
And we're not going to begrudge people of that. You know what? Sometimes there are religious hypocrites that would mock those that want to pray to God. You know what? We should be encouraging people that in their times of need, that they should run to God. In this story, Jonah, shows some of those very things. We think it's a great thing that when people are in a time of need, they can come to their Heavenly Father or their Heavenly Father-to-be and say, I have some trouble. I need some help.
That's exactly right. And what we see here in Jonah's attitude was kind of a precursor of this religious hypocrisy that we see so much of in the New Testament during the time of Jesus. Jesus went everywhere. Everybody loved him, except the religious people of Jerusalem, except the religious leaders who really thought that they were better than everybody else.
Yeah, I think you may have experienced, I know I have, you may have experienced that similar spirit of religion and religious hypocrites even today. It is probably a primary vein of how Satan operates, masquerading as an angel of light, but in reality, he's seeking to make people twice-fold children of hell.
Right.
And that comes by people who make themselves look like they're followers of God, but deep down they are not.
Mm. And here we have Jonah. Maybe he was the original, the prototype of the religious hypocrite.
So Jonah, he's on this boat. He comes up from the belly of the boat and he gives them the answer to these sailors. And he says, hey, I'm the reason why this storm is here. I'm the reason why we're about to be shipwrecked. And he comes up with a solution and says, I think that God would have you guys toss me overboard.
Yes. And we saw that the sailors did not want to do it. They were operating in integrity. They tried every other way to save the ship. And they could not. Finally, they acquiesce. They toss Jonah overboard, and immediately the sea is completely calm. And then a fish swallows Jonah. And Jonah, finally, for the first time in the story, starts praying.
That's right. And I love this right in the middle of the book at the end of chapter 2. Jonah opens up his heart to God and repents of what he's done wrong and asks God for help. And then at the end, he says, the Lord is my salvation.
Mm.
And that is a prayer that we actually pray that all of those that are out here listening have prayed that prayer. That you come to God and say, I can't do this on my own. I've made mistakes. I've made error. And I want the Lord to be my salvation. Interestingly enough, before we even get into chapter 3 and 4, you know that the name Jonah, it actually has a meaning. And that name, Jonah, means dove.
It means dove. And we're introduced in the New Testament to the dove. When Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water and the sky was ripped open. And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form as a dove. So whenever you see a dove in Scripture, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, you should be thinking about the Holy Spirit. This is one of the many ways that the Holy Spirit, a symbol that he uses to represent himself.
So Sam, let me ask you a little question, and then I kind of want you to wax eloquent on this. When we're reading this Old Testament prophetic book of Jonah, which is a little bit different than a lot of other books that we read in the Old Testament, it's not necessarily the story of a prophecy, it's the story of a prophet. So we're reading the life of this prophet Jonah, who is given a mission by God. He disobeys God. He gets tossed out of the ship. He gets swallowed by a great fish. And then now he has to finish the command that God has given him, which is go and preach to this town, this city, Nineveh, of the people that he dislikes. He's to preach the message of God. So when you hear just the beginning half of this story, and then we find out that Jonah means dove, is there some correlations to how the Holy Spirit works in where this story of Jonah is kind of playing out?
Absolutely. And if you look in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 16 and verse 8, it says that the Holy Spirit has come to convince or to convict the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. And so this really is what's about to happen. I don't want to give away the story yet, but what we're going to see here, and before we get into the Holy Spirit part, I want to focus on another important aspect of this story, and that is repentance. And so here's Jonah, who has disobeyed the Lord, and he's brought through difficult circumstances to a place of repentance. Here are the sailors. The sailors probably living apart from God completely, and through the difficulties that they were brought through, they themselves came to repentance and offered sacrifices to the Lord and made vows to the Lord. And so this repentance thing, this changing your mind, turning around from the way you were going, turning away to a new way, is one of the most powerful things that a person can do. And that's true whether you're a person back in the scripture, person in the Old Testament, person in the New Testament, or whether yourself today. You can come to a place, as long as you are breathing, as long as you can fog a mirror, you have an opportunity to change your mind, turn back from what you're doing, and turn toward God, and He will forgive you, He will transform you, He will change your situation.
And I think it's important to note, and that's so good, I think it's important to note that God may allow for circumstances in your life that maybe you wouldn't choose. He may allow for a traumatic or disastrous situation because He wants your attention. He might be calling you saying, hey, I want you to stop looking at yourself and start looking at me. You may be out there listening to this show and you might be walking through a traumatic, hard situation right now. And you need to be at least humble enough and willing to say, is God calling me to something? And you can look to the story of Jonah for that he gets thrown overboard. He gets swallowed by this fish. He's in a moment of desperation and trauma, and he looks to the Lord and repents.
Right. And so a question that you might want to ask yourself, we all might want to ask ourselves today, is what is God calling you to do? What is God calling me to do? And so one of the things that we say on the show a lot is, are you just a pawn in this game, or are you a king in the making? And so you got to understand you have an important role to fulfill in this cosmic drama, and God really wants you to be involved. One of the verses that's also in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe, where it says in chapter 9, it says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Right.
And you might want to ask yourself, why did God go to all this trouble to go and stop Jonah in his tracks, ruin the ship that he was on, cause a fish to swallow him, spit him up on the shore, make him travel another 600 miles to get to Nineveh? Why didn't he just go and find another prophet?
It's a good question.
And so the harvest is plentiful. There are many, many people who need to hear God's message of repentance and forgiveness, but the laborers are few.
Yeah, and what we see here in the book of Jonah is that God gave him a command. He said, hey, I'd like you to deliver a message for me to this city of Nineveh. And Jonah disobeys. But God's command still stands. He still has work for Jonah to do. He still has things for Jonah to accomplish. And God's plan of redemption, and let me just define this word redemption for you. We say it at every show, that redemption means that God fixes broken things. And in this story of Jonah, God has a plan for Jonah to deliver a message to a city that needs to hear from God. And even though Jonah turns away and goes the opposite direction, God creates environments and situations that brings Jonah back to God. And now Jonah's swallowed by this fish. God sees Jonah's repentant heart, sees the prayer that Jonah prays, and then commands the fish to taxi this man all the way to back to the beach, and the fish throws Jonah up onto the fish. And now Jonah, in a repentant, humble mindset, hears from God, and he says, the same command that I gave you before you left on this little journey still stands. I want you to go to the town of Nineveh, and I want you to deliver this message.
Yes, indeed. So he's heading to Nineveh. And let's just look at a few facts about the city of Nineveh.
Yeah, good idea.
And so here we are in chapter 3, and God says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. And so when he says Nineveh is a great city, he's not just whistling Dixie.
What does he mean by that?
So Nineveh, archaeologists have found this, that the walls of Nineveh were 100 feet tall, and they were 60 feet wide. Several chariots side by side could go. It was like a multi-lane highway on top of the wall of this city.
Wow!
And we learned from the book there were about 120,000 people who lived inside the city proper, But in all likelihood, there were suburbs that surrounded this city as well, because it says in your Bible that it was a 3 days' journey from one side of the city to the other, whereas inside the walls of the city was only about 2 miles wide by 2 miles deep.
So we find out that the city Nineveh is very large, especially for an ancient city. And that asks the question that we need to pause and think about, is that not only will God bring situations and scenarios that bring you to your knees in repentance to him, but also he gives you tasks, he gives you missions that seem insurmountable. Imagine if God told you, like Jonah, to go to a city with walls this size that were filled with this many people, that was just an enormous city that man has built, and God said, I want you to go deliver a message to all of those people. You would feel like that mission was a large, heavy, difficult task.
Especially if you knew that Assyria was a natural enemy of Israel, where you're from.
That's right. And isn't it just like God to be bringing people of different backgrounds and different cultures together? I think this is awesome, and it's a future representation in the book of Jonah. It's prophetically natured in the sense that God eventually is going to send this gospel message not only to his own people, the nation of Israel, but also to all the world. He actually says, Jesus says this in the New Testament, that you should go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That he's looking, God is looking for people from America, God is looking for people from South America, God is looking for people in China, God is looking for people in all of Asia, God is looking for people in all of Europe to come under the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has died on the cross for your sins and offers salvation for all those who place their faith in Jesus. The gospel and what the gospel stands for is rich unto all those that believe.
Right. And so, Anthony, I want to ask here. Here's Jonah. He's made the trip. He's now gone to Nineveh like he was supposed to do
it all
along.
It was a tough trip. He's in the belly of a fish for part of this trip. That's right. Okay, go ahead.
And so he gets there. What is he saying? What is his message to the people of Nineveh?
Yeah, so you might think that if God has a message for a city of 120,000 people, that it might be 10 pages long. But let me read to you in the book of Jonah, chapter number 3, what Jonah's message was that he gives to the town of Nineveh. This is in Jonah chapter number 3, verse number 4. The Bible says this, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and he said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" Period.
So this is his message.
This is his message.
He's not sugarcoating it. He's not giving the upside, the positive things that God's going to do if they repent. He's just saying, you guys are screwed.
He's saying, you guys are going to be under the wrath of God.
Yeah, in 40 days.
And here's what happens. When we obey God and we go on mission for what God has asked us to do, and we start to take steps of faith toward the direction that God is leading us in, he gives us this simple task to deliver this 7-word message. And then the people of Nineveh, you might think that they'd throw him out. You might think that they would arrest him. You might think that they would kill him even.
Right.
But what we find in the chapter, later in the chapter, let's look at verse number 10. And if you're at home and you're reading along, or you're in your car and you're texting while you're driving, stop texting now. Stop texting while you're driving and listen to this Bible verse. This is Jonah chapter number 3, verse number 10. This is the response from the city of Nineveh after Jonah delivers this message. And this is what the city of Nineveh does in verse 10. "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and God did not deliver the wrath."
Yes, and here we learn an important principle, scriptural principle. When you repent of your evil, God repents of the evil he intended to do to you. It's that simple.
Yeah, and I love this. I love how this story is turning out, because this is a broken guy, this prophet. This Jonah is what seems to be not the candidate that you would choose to go and carry out this mission for God. and he steps into his mission field. He steps into the land where he's supposed to accomplish this work for God. He delivers this message from God, and then instead of the people rejecting him, they accept his message. They turn from their wicked ways and start following God. This is something that is unheard of. What people say can't be done and that they are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And Jonah obeys God after a trip of turmoil. And what does God do? He lines the way with massive blessing by people turning and placing their faith in the very God that Jonah is preaching.
Yeah, so this is probably the largest single revival that's ever occurred in the entire world, that we know, certainly that we know about in the Bible, and that we know about in modern history as well. 120,000 people. The king of Nineveh, of the city, commanded everybody to fast. They even made the animals fast. They put sackcloth on their bodies. They called out to God, and here's what the king said in verse 9. He said, "Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." And so he understood the mercy of God. And this is also, you know, back on the Holy Spirit who convinces and convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Our job is to proclaim the truth of God's word. And that was
boldly,
Jonah.
That is.
Boldly.
We as Old Lion, Young Lion, we're responsible to boldly declare the message, but you're responsible for hearing what we're preaching on these radio waves, and that the Holy Spirit is convicting in your heart that you respond to what you're hearing.
Right. And that is the Holy Spirit's job, to convince the world, convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So here's Jonah. He was obedient. He spoke the word of God as he was commanded.
Now, you might not know that this is just four chapter book of the Bible has such dynamite packed into these four chapters, but this is not the end of the story. But wait, there's more. In Jonah chapter 4, we get the response of this prophet, Jonah. And before we read this final chapter, before we look into what happens in Jonah chapter number 4, you should be aware that what we believe is that the Bible, God's word, is true from page 1 until page done. And we believe that it's relative to you and it's relative to us, and that even though this book is thousands of years old, it's important for every single person to hear the stuff that's inside of it.
That's right. This is not just a comic book. This is historical fact.
Exactly right. So we get into this response that Jonah has once he beholds the revival of this entire city. After he obeys God, we see all these people, these Ninevites, they turn to God. And then the very first verse of Jonah chapter number 4 says this: "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." Jonah's response to watching God pull off a miraculous revival by the message that he gave Jonah to deliver, Jonah says, "I'm angry."
Yes, and here, unfortunately, we thought that Jonah had repented, but he had repented on the outside, but on the inside, he still had this massive problem, which was this religious hypocrisy that manifests itself. So he goes up on the hill, and he's going to sit there and watch and see what's happening. He didn't want the people of Nineveh to turn and repent. He didn't want God to spare the city of Nineveh. He wanted them to be judged. He was hoping that he'd get a front row seat to Sodom and Gomorrah, the sequel.
You know, what happens is that Jonah goes and hopes that God's going to destroy the city, but instead, revival breaks out. This whole city starts following God. And then you would expect Jonah to be excited, but instead, Jonah just says, "It's not even worthy for me to be alive anymore." And you could expect that God might be frustrated with Jonah at first, that God might say, "How dare you?" And God would be well within his rights as the creator of the world, as the creator of Jonah, that he could bring judgment now, not on the Ninevites, but now onto his own prophet Jonah. But instead, you know what God does? God, who is filled with grace and mercy, comes to Jonah and speaks to him and says, "Jonah, doest thou well to be angry?" Mm. God cares about Jonah, even in a space where Jonah is doing the opposite, again, of what God would want him to do. And Jonah's angry now, sitting on this hill, that this whole city has turned and started following God. And then Jonah starts complaining about other things. I wish it wasn't so hot, he says. I wish the sun wasn't bearing down on me as I'm sitting up on this mountain. And then God plants, he plants a fruit tree or a vegetable tree, grows it big enough to cover some shade for Jonah, and then to give Jonah even a little bit more mercy.
Right. And this is the heart of God, and you have to understand this. You know, a lot of people are thinking that God's just up there waiting for you to screw up so he can blast you. The truth is, the reality is that God, his heart is for you. His heart is toward you. He wants you to succeed. He wants you as his child, like his son. You know, for those of you who have children, you know what I'm talking about. You know how much you want your kids, your sons, your daughters to succeed in life. You know how much you want their lives to be blessed beyond belief. It's just natural for a parent. And this is the way God is for all his children, even disobedient children like this, Jonah, who have a bad attitude and a bad heart. Here's God just going the extra mile to give him a little bit of shade.
Well, here's the truth about God's character, and the Bible says this is in as many words, that the goodness of God is what leadeth you to repentance. God looks at him and says, with all of his heart and mercy behind this sentence, and says, isn't it right that if they turn and follow me, that I save them too? Didn't I save you from the belly of this fish? Right. Didn't I save you from disobeying me and going to the city of Tarshish? Didn't I save you from all the other things that you've decided that you wanted to go against me on? Isn't it only right that I save this city of Nineveh if they turn and follow me? And then guess what happens? The book ends.
Yes, and so the last verse in the book, chapter 4, verse 11, it says, God saying, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle.
You know, the New Testament also says this, that God is not willing that any should perish. So Jonah had it wrong for wanting to have God, desiring to have God destroy these people.
Yes, and one thing we have to understand as well, even though this book of Jonah, which is nestled in among the other small prophetic books of the Old Testament, is not a traditional prophecy, there is prophecy happening. We're going to zoom out a little to the great cosmic drama. What this book is prophesying is that when Jesus comes, who Jonah is a type of, he's the one, he went in the heart of earth 3 days and then rose again. Jonah was a picture of that. So when Jesus came, the Jewish people who God had given his words to, God had given the Old Testament to the Jewish people, they rejected Jesus in large, not all of them, but they rejected Jesus mostly. And so he had called them, he had given them the first right of refusal to bring his word to the rest of the world, and they said, no thanks. And so what happened in Jonah happened again on a grand scale in the New Testament. And so this story is itself a prophecy of what was to happen in the future.
I love that. And the Bible is filled with those hidden treasures that you need to see, you need to seek out. If you're listening here, the Bible says this, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I want to pose one last final question before we close. The book of Jonah doesn't end with the prophet Jonah riding off into the sunset. It doesn't end with Jonah collecting all of his reward from God. It ends with God asking a question that, don't you care about these people?
Mm.
And then it doesn't share Jonah's response. And I think that the author of this book wants us to consider, what might our response be when God comes and asks us a question? Are we going to answer how God wants us to answer? Are we going to respond to the book of Jonah with the way that Jonah responds and run away from God? Or are we going to respond? Are you going to respond by running to God? Now, this show is not a show that cares about politics or is going to go into your personal hobbies or is going to give you 10 steps to have a better this or that. This is a show, Old Lion, Young Lion, that seeks to uncover truth and then speak it boldly. And we're happy that you're coming alongside this journey with us. We hope that you continue to listen to the show and follow along as we study the Bible. We're excited about what we're doing. We love that you're listening, and we want God to bless you.
Yes, and please email us at oldlionyounglion at gmail.com. We'd love to hear your comments. We'd love to hear your questions. And we look forward to seeing you in church.
God bless.